Welcome to Coaching Uncaged, the podcast that pushes the boundaries of the coaching profession with cutting-edge practitioners, authors, and thought leaders. Coaching Uncaged brings you pioneering thinking to enrich the art and science of coaching in all its forms. And now, introducing your host, Robert Stevenson.
Welcome to another episode of Coaching Uncaged. Today, I am talking with Andrea Watts from Unglue You. Andrea is a creative, she's a coach, she is an author, a workshop leader, and many, many more. We met maybe, I think, about 5 or 6 years ago now at an expo. Where I was looking at some of your work and I was like, oh, this looks interesting. What's this about? What is it that you do? And it's taken us quite a while to get to the point of having our podcast, our interview, but it's been great watching you on your journey and watching the things that have kind of unfolded for you over that time. So why don't you start by just introducing yourselves and letting us know a little bit about what it is you do with Unglue You.
Okay, so hello everyone. As Robert said, my business is called Unglue You. I've been going, November will be 8 years, so a while as a entrepreneur, sole trader. I started Unglue You because of something that happened to me, my own story. And I think that's the case for lots of people, isn't it? Something that touches you, leads you to start your business. But Unglue You is about using images and using collage as a tool, as a coaching tool to help people get unstuck. And that's why the name emerged, Unglue You, because it was really about how can you help people who are in transition move forward in a really meaningful way, in a way that's right for them, not what anybody else thinks, but is really self-directed, really comes from self. And I was going to use the word authentic. It's used so often, isn't it? I feel almost like, should I use it? I'm going to. But it is. It's about being authentic as well, because the answers come from within. So I really believe that we all have our own answers and that images help you tap into that. I have done some art therapy in the past. I did a foundation course, and that's where I learned about the power of images to tap the unconscious and to allow us to express ourselves in a different way, and in a different way that brings alternative perspectives and new knowledge. And that to me is why I absolutely love working with images. I love working with collage. They're both powerful. You can use images separately to collage, but what collage brings is the added storytelling, that connection that you don't get with the individual images. So that's why I love my work. I also think it's really important, because what it does is bring together different elements. So it brings in storytelling, it brings in visual metaphors, it brings in clean language and mindfulness and flow, creativity. So it draws together all these different elements that can help us as individuals and our clients just really see things from so many different angles that are interconnected that you might not necessarily get with other approaches. So that's why it's important to me. And as Robert said, you know, I deliver training as well. I don't know if you mentioned that, but I now train coaches, and that's been like a big step for me. And that came about because coaches were actually approaching me and saying, look, I want to use a creative approach, but I don't know how, and I'm not confident. People seem to lack creative confidence. And that's another thing, a little corner where I stand beating my drum, is about creativity and its importance and how we're all creative. So that's kind of a passion for me as well.
So there's kind of a sort of a duality there, I guess. There's the work that you do with your clients, and then there's the work that you do with coaches to then do with their clients, and both of those things are about unlocking something. So there's the work with the client that's about unlocking them, the ungluing or unsticking of them, so they can kind of find their true authentic self through the sort of process of tapping into the unconscious mind through the image work. And then there's work that you do with the coaches around, you too can be creative, we're all creative. but let's use this framework or these tools to unlock your creativity. And I always find it really interesting when I see those sort of patterns and ways of working. And I just wonder, how do they sort of sit for you, or how does it sort of how does it sort of come around for you?
Do you mean in terms of working with clients and working with coaches?
Yeah, because coaches can be wonderful clients and they can be terrible clients. I say terrible, I mean challenging, I mean difficult, I mean, because, you know, coaches can know the process and sometimes get ahead of the process as opposed to sitting in the process itself and allowing it to kind of unfold.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And that has been something where when I first started coaching, training coaches, was, should I just stick to the public? Because of the sort of challenges you mentioned. But what I found is, I think because what I do is so unusual and there's nobody else training in it, that it's been easier to train coaches. Although when I've, so they come and they do a half day, and then they can go on and do a full day. So the half day is an introduction, and it also gives them an opportunity to actually use it to reflect on what they want from their coaching career. So it's a win-win. Now, that part of it is fine because we're working in a group anyway. When we go to the smaller group and doing the full day, that's where I found like more and more questions. Why? How? What? And also in terms of the questioning, because people bring with them questioning that they've used elsewhere, they're then bringing it in. And sometimes it works, and I don't say, no, you can't. But other times it's like, actually, because you're working with images, it's better to use this kind of questioning because you're going to get deeper answers from the client rather than almost like presupposing. And that's one of the real things about working with imagery. We all bring our own meaning based on our experience, our ethnicity, our background, our culture. We all bring our own interpretation of images, and helping coaches to understand about not putting that on the client, about not projecting that to the client, that's probably the biggest challenge, actually, because I've had to really work to not do it myself, you know, to be aware when, oh, it's popping up, and actually, no, just as you said, allow yourself to be with what emerges.
Yeah, I think there's something really interesting, because coaches get really curious, as we do, because we're coaches and we're always, you know, looking at what's happening and what's going on, who's showing up. We're asking all of those questions, and that can allow us to get caught up in our kind of our head, especially when we're learning something new and we're trying to work it out, as opposed to kind of getting into the actual process itself and allowing the process to answer those questions as opposed to the thinking to answer those questions. So it might be useful for you just to kind of tell us a little bit about sort of, you know, how does the work show up if you're working with an individual or a group? What is it that you might be doing within that work that makes it different to how other coaches might be working?
Okay, so I'll probably the easiest thing to do is just talk you through an overview. So I have the main resource is the magazines, obviously because of COVID, I had to go online. But previous to that, it was magazines, and it was really important that the magazines were a broad range, tended to steer away from women's or men's magazines, because you've seen one, you've seen them all, and the images are very, very stereotyped. And so the guidance that I give, it's three stages, and I'm very specific about these three stages, because each one, we've talked about the process, Robert, and each stage has a specific role in the process to help unlock that unconscious thinking and allow people to be in the moment and not skipping ahead or not editing and evaluating too early. So I will say things just as simply as, just choose every single image that resonates with you. And it sounds a really simple thing to do, but our cognitive things will come in. Why do I want that? No, it doesn't matter if I leave it. And so it's also about, you know, trusting yourself and connecting to the images and allowing yourself just to take them and not to think. And so that's the very first stage. And there's more, because I make people aware, notice, pay attention to those voices that will come, and then ignore them. Again, easier said than done. So part of my role is walking around and just watching what people are doing. So that's the first part. So in terms of the difference to what other people may be doing, I find it quite hard to answer that question, to be honest. But I think definitely in terms of that, really tapping into the intuitive and the unconscious first, before anything else, before I ask any questions, the only thing we have is the theme. And then the clients are allowed to just gather. And then the next part is where they will decide which of the images they want to use on their collage. And here I ask them to pay attention to what the images that they don't use as well, because what they discard will also be telling them something about what they don't want in their life, or that situation, or behaviors they want to change, mindsets, etc. And then listen in, because the mind will be reflecting, it will be asking questions, there will be aha moments. And if you don't then tune in, you will miss those. And that's where the evaluation starts. And for me, in terms of the creative process, they've gone from that kind of big thinking, like as if you were brainstorming, that open-ended thinking, to, okay, this is what we've got, but what am I trying to say? What's the most important thing? How are these images connecting? Where are the patterns? Part of that is still intuitive, because people move and I say, just trust, listen, you'll know. And that part, to be honest, Robert, I cannot explain actually what happens there, but the brain knows, and it's like a hand-eye coordination thing as well, in terms of as you're making. And when you move that, then you're seeing it from a different perspective. What happens if I move it here? It's that curiosity you mentioned. What happens if I move it here? How does that feel? How does that fit? And so they play and they move things around until it's like, that's it. And people know, they always know when it's finished, when it's right. And then the coaching conversation begins. So the first two parts of the process are very much about the client unearthing those hidden stuff, the unconscious, then creating the narrative, and then we lead into the coaching conversation, where they then explain to me, or the coaches I've trained explain, this is what these images mean to me, this is why I chose it, that's why I put that there, this is why I use that color. And then the questions come, the querying, the noticing from the coach. And that's where the learning is consolidated at that stage. Yeah.
I love that idea of, you know, of unearthing, of, you know, pulling things out and seeing what's in the ground. It's like, you know, we're going into our unconscious and having a rummage and allowing the images to come out, almost like, you know, I don't know, root vegetables into the space that we then look at. And this idea that from that we create our narrative, our story. And when you were saying there about, you know, the things we leave out, and noticing that often in coaching, one of my things is what's unspoken, what are we talking about here that needs to be brought into the space? You know, what elements can we bring into the space that we're discarding or discounting? And why might we be doing that? So I think there's, you know, my brain was thinking, I wonder what would be left in my discarded pile. And then to go through that pile and to see, okay, what do these images mean to me? But then, you know, you've created your collection of images and, you know, arrange it as a narrative. And then that's where the coaching begins and the discussion. And I imagine that in that space, or I guess that sometimes a client won't necessarily know why they put something there until they start questioning it.
Yes. And sometimes, particularly with the visual metaphors, I find it so fascinating that people will say, I don't know why I wanted this in there, but I knew I wanted, I couldn't leave it out. And that's where our role is to come in and to ask those questions. And clean language is a really good way of working with visual metaphors, you know, well, what kind of, what? And then people, oh, and they start to talk about it, it's like, now it's starting to make sense. But very often as well, the question, does this resonate with you? So they'll describe it. They won't see the connection to themselves. Does this resonate with you? Or how does this resonate with you? It's like, actually, yes, that's how I feel about this situation. Yet while they were talking, they might use the third person as well. Mm. That woman in the water, she's just going under, but she knows she... And then, well, how does that... that's me, and when I'm going under, it's this, and yeah, so it's fascinating work. But as you said, it's very often not until the talking sometimes that the meaning starts to come through.
And it sort of, you know, you said that there's the clean language element to the questions, and I know some you know practitioners that I know that work in that way, and I've kind of touched on clean language, and I love the idea of those metaphors and how they take shape and adapt and move and change as you kind of unpick them and pay attention to them. And I guess the images will kind of change their meaning as you kind of just talk about them as well.
I didn't see that before. I didn't notice that. And the more they talk, and when you ask a question, well, what kind of tree is that? And someone replies, well, it's a strong tree. It's been there for many years. And it's actually, I can see that maybe it's been diseased at some stage, and yet it still stands firm and it's been buffeted. And so then you pick up on that, well, what kind of strong? What kind of, and it's so, one image can take a client such a long way. Such a long way. And that's, again, now the benefit, because the next session, another image, or how, what image connects with that. So it's a really rich source of dialogue.
And I guess, as you were saying, you know, you said earlier that, you know, part of the job is to keep our own perception or meaning out of the process. And when you said it, I was a bit like, yeah, but I think coaches do that. They keep their meaning out of it. But just in that moment when you were talking about the tree, I could see lots of images of trees appearing for me and going, ah, okay. It's almost an unconscious muscle that's firing and triggering. And I guess part of the work is to go, yeah, that's happening for me, but let me allow that to happen, but not allow it to influence the question I ask of the client.
When I'm working with groups, then I open it up to the group to allow, because I think we gain a lot from other people's perspectives. So when it's a group, I will say, you know, what do you notice? And do it as offering. So this is what I see. You don't have to accept, I'll make it very clear, you don't have to accept what the other person sees. But if it resonates with you, then reflect on it, because they might have a different perspective. And many times clients in that situation have been, I hadn't thought of it like that. And it just gives them something else to think about. It may still not go anywhere, but it's like, I hadn't thought of that. Maybe that is for me as well. So that's another part I really enjoy, as a collective that people can support and share with each other. But yes, as you said, otherwise, I will do things like, well, I notice in that image you've not spoken. Almost like what you're saying about what's left out. Sometimes it's the image, sometimes it's a part of the image.
Yeah. You've
not spoken about that, and give them the choice whether they want to. Many times people say, well, that's not why I chose it. And I'll say, that may not be the case, but your unconscious noticed it.
Mm.
Would you like to talk about it now?
I think there's something interesting there, because as you talk about the unconscious, it made me think about, so how close is this work to that of therapy?
Yeah, well, to be honest, it has its roots in psychotherapy, in art therapy, and it can be used in a therapeutic way. It is, in fact, collage is used in art therapy. It is used in other therapeutic settings. I don't use it in a therapeutic way because it can go very, very deep.
Mm.
And if you're not equipped and you're not trained to work with people in that way, it can throw up things. The unconscious kind of sense that we lock things away, don't we? And we close, shut them behind doors, and the unconscious can just go bing and let it flip open like a trap. And you might not like what pops out. So that's one of the things I do say in the training, who it's for and who it's not for. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess so in part of that, you're working with your clients is almost self-identify, you know, what are you bringing? How are you working? And sort of saying this is a coaching approach as opposed to a therapeutic approach. Yes. And even though it has its therapeutic roots, we're not using it for that. This is our focus.
Yes, yeah. And that's one of my goals, actually, was around bringing the process out of the therapeutic setting into more mainstream, into the coaching world. And when it's used in collage, it's not in therapy, it's not used in the same three-stage process. That was something I developed. But it is used in the same way in terms of tapping your consciousness and talking through and, a lot.
And so you kind of mentioned there that was what you developed, and I'm always curious when people create ways of working, what that process of creating that way of working was, and perhaps a time frame. And I realize I'm stacking my questions here, but also the mistakes or the dead ends that one might have gone to through that process.
Yeah, well, for me, I ended up actually creating as a process. I think it was, but I didn't realize. So the bits kind of merged, and I wasn't aware that this bit does that, second stage does that. So it was kind of like, gather your images. And my language changed. So I would say, choose images. And I'm like, well, actually, you're not choosing your. And then I'd say, a pile. It's not a pile, it's a collection. So my language changed over time as well. But the reason I ended up doing it as three distinct parts was I also worked for my local council for Hafels. And they require you to, like, a lesson plan.
Ah.
So when I did it, I realized, there are three. And once I recognized that, I then started to develop it more. Okay, what is in the first part and why is it there? Second, third. And so, that's how it developed. And so that time frame was probably over the 3 years since I started. Yeah. I don't know that I hit any dead ends with it. No, I don't think I had that experience, actually, which is good.
Because I know sometimes we sort of we think something's a great idea and we try it, and then in the process of doing it, we go, actually, that wasn't such a great idea, but the spin-off from that or the outcome from not a good idea or dead end creates a new avenue.
I can see. Do you know what? If I stopped and really thought about it, they're probably... has been. I definitely learned things around the resources. So in terms of which magazines, I've got really good at knowing straight away which sort of images as well people tend to go for, which is interesting because we all choose different ones and no two are ever the same. And I love that about it. But there are certain types of magazines that allow people to tap in more, and I've found that ones that the images are more abstract, probably because they can have more layers of meaning, tend to work better than ones with lots of people don't tend to choose images of people that much, which is also interesting.
Yeah, because as you were saying that, it was sort of making me think about, you know, some images are so layered with preconceived meaning or meaning kind of engendered by the magazine itself, that we already know what that means. And so it's much harder to place our own meaning on it because it already has a meaning that's kind of being shouted out, as it were, to us. Whereas the more abstract allows us to layer our sense of self upon it, I guess.
Actually, as you say that, one of the things with those ones which have the meaning, society and the magazines put on it, one of the joys of it is that as you take it out, remove it from that context, you can create new meaning from it. And that's really powerful. And one of the things I work with clients is, as you said, that meaning, is it your personal meaning or are you... transactional is the word I guess I would use, where you're taking on board something else and you're like, oh, this red means danger, or I'm trying to think of another example, or fast car means, you know, I've got lots of money or I'm successful. And so when the client says, oh, yeah, that means success, the question is, well, what kind of success? Mm. And that's when you can start really unpicking, what does success look like for you? What's happening? And that's the values piece as well. So, yeah.
And as you were saying that, it made me think about how a process like this might be used for a client who isn't quick to speak, for somebody who the dialogue is challenging and the starting point is challenging, because this gives you a start point that isn't necessarily talking about the self.
Yes.
And just gives you another way in, which just came to mind. I think that's a really curious place to explore as coaches, you know. When might you use this tool as opposed to a different tool?
Yeah, exactly. That's one of the selling points, for want of a better word, that when I'm talking about it, for people who find it difficult to articulate what they want to say, or actually maybe don't even know what it is they want to say, they can start with the process and actually through the gathering, through the creating, the words are starting to come for them. They may not have shared them with you as yet, but they're starting to come. So by the time the coaching conversation begins, they have some words. And as you said, they can use third person to speak through it. I've known clients literally hold it up, so they're not looking, you know, they don't get the eye contact, but it's the same, it's almost like a safe space or something they can talk through until they're ready to actually own some of those images. As well, yeah, so it is really good for that. And it's very, I mean, one of the things research was done on it is how powerful it is for well-being. People do get into mindfulness, they do get into flow, and so it's very relaxing. So things, people are working on themselves in a very gentle way without sometimes without even realizing it till it comes to the end part. Yeah, so it's good for that as well.
And I guess the idea that it's a collage as opposed to a drawing, which helps, because I know somebody said to me, draw something, all of my fears and anxieties about, you know, what my images look like come flooding in and kind of cause me to censor myself. But if you're collecting images from the space, then all of that's gone. So it kind of strips a layer of self-editing out of the process.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I talk at the beginning about it's not art, it's not about the level of your creative skill or your perceived perception. It's a process and it's a way of expressing yourself visually. And it's really important. I repeat that several times because I do recognize we have through school, through art at school, this is good, this is bad. We have ideas around this that stay with us around grades. And so we judge ourselves and we judge other people. When you're drawing, that's easier to do because you're, one, there's a blank sheet of paper and you're like, where do I start? With the images, as you say, they're already there. You just have to gather them. And just a quick side, even when people are gathering them, how they're gathered tells you something, whether they cut them out, tear them out, whether they use words, whether they use more images, all of that tells us something. But as you said, they gather, they take them out, and then they just put them on paper and they move them around. There's no drawing. I reiterate, even with this, do not judge yourself. I won't be judging you. I make a joke about school and how, you know, the hairs on the back of your head go up when you think about art at school. And I loved art, but I know that if it wasn't something you were passionate about or were particularly, I don't even want to say good at, but within a school context, good at, then it's a bit of a horror for you actually being asked to draw again. And people put it aside. So it'll be years and years since anybody's done drawing for many clients as well.
And so I know that you are in the process of writing a book about your work. And I'm always interested in how, I'm often interested in how when you write a book about your work, what do you start to understand about your work that you didn't understand before you started to sort of capture it in words, as it were?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to answer this question. I'm going to throw something else in there. Last year, I got my training for coaches accredited by the ICF. And that process actually started for me exactly what you described there. I had to stop and think, how am I going to put this down on paper in a way that other people can understand it? Not realizing how much actually the process entails and how, until I had to write it down.
Mm.
But then when I came to do the book, it was less of a shock for a start. But I definitely have learned about more about it because I'd done research anyway. I still give talks as science behind the art. So I talk about the creativity as a cognitive process rather than a creating something. I talk about clean language and visual metaphors. But the more research I did and I came to write it, I realised, gosh, it's more connected than I'd realised. Every single part of the process connects into another. So although they're three stages, every single one feeds into another. And I guess I did know that, but writing it made me really understand and appreciate that. And think, okay, so when a client, for example, with the creative process, I read some years ago how, you know, people talk about left and right brain. If I'm left brain, I'm no, I have a thing about that. No. So it's about like these neural networks and how the imagination network is the one where we're kind of pondering and free thinking. And the executive attention is when we're getting those ideas and we're pulling them back down and how making sense of them and making meaning. And then we can do something with them. And it maps completely onto the collaging process, as I described earlier. And then we have a network in the middle that goes between the two to solve the problem at hand. Do I need more of this? Do I need more? And it just keeps going backwards and forwards. And then when I had to write about that in more detail, I realized, gosh, yes, so it's happening cognitively, but it's also happening practically for clients at exactly the same time. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. Now that I know that, when I'm working with clients or even taking that as a transferable skill, when I'm writing the book, for example, when am I using my imagination network? How does that help me as I'm writing not to struggle with that part of it? Understanding, actually, this is what you're doing right now. It doesn't matter that you've written five sentences and it's taken you an hour because what you're doing is that bigger thinking. And then, so it's really helped me as a skill and to realize, well, I can help clients also understand that, take the process. How can I can transfer that to other areas beyond as part of the coaching?
Yeah, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, I used to work with an organization called Creative Partnerships. And my role was to work with artists and educators to come together to create pieces of work that were educational stimulus for young people within the school environment. And one of the conversations I was often having with artists is, let's understand your process for creating your art so we can then teach your process to somebody else. And a lot of those conversations were, oh, no, it just happens. I go, yeah, I know it does just happen, but there is a process that just happens. The moment we start to notice that process and reflect on the process, we start to almost understand our own inner workings.
Yes.
And sometimes we almost break our inner workings by understanding them. It's like we need to understand it and forget it at the same time in order to create flow around it.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's, because one of the things I didn't mention is that there's music playing as clients work. Because music also helps tap the unconscious. So as you were saying about, I really like that, the idea of understanding it and then breaking it again. And one of the things I talk about in the book, where I describe creativity, and it sounds like I'm pulling it to bits and making it very cognitive, but actually that doesn't take away from the magic of creativity. It's just about, one, so the clients can understand, just because I can't draw or I'm not a poet or music doesn't mean I'm not creative, and to be able to recognize when they're using the process, as I mentioned earlier, but still appreciating the joy of creativity. And yes, those moments where things just come together or something pops up, it's like, oh, I did that. Mm. And people get that from their collages. They look at them and they're so proud. I never thought I could do this. And they have it to take away. And for me, that's a really important part of my work that definitely sets it aside from other coaching tools, is that clients have a visual representation to take away. It will keep speaking to them. You mentioned earlier about visual metaphors, that the meaning comes through as people talk about it. It also continues to come through as they look at it and they're actually in their day to day. And they're like, actually, that image, I just realized it connects to this here. And it might be months. To be honest, Robert, it could be years later. I have had clients come back, I didn't realize, but now I can see that even then, the collage was saying to me, I was saying to myself, I guess, these things about myself and what I wanted and what I valued and the direction I wanted my life to go in, how I wanted to feel. So, yeah.
I do find that fascinating how the work can continue to speak to us. And I guess it's a little bit like how we can have a piece of art and we can look at it and see newness in it every time we look at it, and how it's just, you know, how we're feeling in that moment also triggers what we're noticing in our work as well. And you were saying there about the music, and it just made me curious about what choice of music do you make, and how does that choice of music impacts the process that's then happening?
Yeah, so I have looked into this, because music with words, for example, can affect people. People have a choice whether they want it on. I say it's going to be on. You can have it turned off if you like, but people never have it turned off. But it's classical music, modern classical music. So my favorite composer that I use is Ian Aldi. So you can go and look him up afterwards if you want. but it's very relaxing. It's the kind of music you'd listen to if you're sitting in the garden watching a water feature or whatever. But I do try and make a point of having music that's kind of steady, so it doesn't have your ups and downs and too many beats, because that does, you know, it makes your heart beat faster if the music's too fast or too, I don't know, is it a composer who does the planets, and some of them are really
yes
we don't have any of that.
I can't think who does that, but I know that I love that work. I think it's the piece that's about Mars, I think,
yes,
the most.
So they stay very steady, so that clients are just kind of kept at this steady, peaceful, so that they can. But I did look into it because I thought, you know, there is a risk, isn't there, of it affecting choice.
That's really interesting. You know, the environment that you create will have an impact on how the clients are working and what they're choosing. So you have to be very mindful about what's in that space and how might it influence somebody's work.
Absolutely. And I talk about that in the book. I talk about creating a safe space. I talk about holding the silence, because you have to be prepared to be quiet while they're gathering their images, while they're creating the collage. I will intervene sometimes, depending on what's going on. So if somebody's looking through and I notice they're looking at a magazine image like this, and they'll turn it over, they'll turn it back, they'll turn it over, and I'll just say, were you attracted to that? And they'll say, yeah, but anybody would be, wouldn't they? Just take it out. I'm like, oh. And 9 times out of 10, that image is important to them or they use it. So other than that kind of observing for them, then I'm silent. And they work without speaking, if it's in a group, without speaking to each other, without speaking to me. Because when we speak, we're engaging our cognitive reasoning, and then you're disengaging from your unconscious and intuition. So that's one of the things I talk about in terms of creating the space. We talked about drawing and not being artistic. People come with different experiences of art. So again, I set the scene depending on the group. I'll go through like these 5 points about working with art. Art-based methods rather than art. So that's, again, the language, art-based method. It's not art. Some people might argue differently. I prefer to describe it in those terms because, again, it's otherwise connected a barrier to people engaging with it. And I don't want to do that.
Yeah, so I guess you're using language that opens the space for them to come into as opposed to pre-designs what that space is and designs how they interact in the space. You're going, it's an open space for you to be in how you want to be in there. And so when you think about your work, I'm just curious as to, you know, what do you see as next? What do you see as coming next for you with what you do?
Gosh. You know, if you'd asked me that a year ago, I could have answered it better. Right now, my head is so in the book. All I'm thinking is book, get the book finished. But I do have a long-term plan. My goal is, well, it's a vision. My vision is to see coaching with collage used internationally for people to at least know, and I guess that's where the books come from, is for people to be aware that this is an option, for coaches to know this is something I can use for my clients. And so that's one of the reasons I train coaches, because I can't do it by myself. I can't be out there. But other coaches can, and the book is, again, another way for people to access it and know about it. So once the book's written, then I shall focus on just getting back to the training, really, because that's taken a back seat. And then, just continuing to build from there. I now have an offline version, so I need to look about how I deliver that in a training format. As well, right now I use it just with clients and groups, but if it were to be training, how would it look different?
So
that's my main thing, going back to the training and promoting the book, of course.
I remember at the just before we sort of started recording, you said you had a collage there, and I just thought it might be interesting just for us to take a peek before we sort of wrap up.
Yes, I guess I almost should have started this when you asked about what it's about, you know, my journey. But this is the very first collage I created. It's got the year on it, 2012, when I was stuck myself in a job where I wasn't getting to express myself creatively, which is a thing I wanted to do. I wanted to use my creativity, my art, to help others. And I went to see a careers coach, and she said, go away and draw doors opening, because I talked about it as part of the coaching. And back to that drawing, Robert, because I drew it, and all I can say is it did not represent what I was trying to say. It was just a bunch of stick people, and I thought no. So I did a collage, and this is the collage. I've kept all of it. But the main image for me, the thing that started my journey with Unglue You, was this girl here.
Yeah.
Because as I was looking through and gathering images, when I saw that, I literally kind of went, had this physiological reaction. And I thought, that's how I feel. And for the first time, I could put words to it. I knew I wasn't happy, but I realized that I felt hidden. I felt restricted. I felt unable to have my voice heard because I was under this blanket. You can see from the image, her arms can't move and that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm on here 3 times. I'm down there. That was me saying, it's time to come out now. And that was my catalyst for change. That was how I wanted to feel. I didn't know actually what I wanted to do. I just knew how I wanted to feel, which is the same for many clients, actually. How do I want to feel? And then it gives some sense of direction. But I wanted to feel like I was in the moment, that I could express myself creatively. She's in red on purpose. I love dance, and I love the freedom and the mindfulness of that. The energy, I wanted to feel, you know, energetic. And she's halfway up the stairs. So, you know, can we never really reach, do we? Well, I know I don't, because once I get there, it's the next thing. But it's that idea of creating a dream for myself, for my clients, for Guaranteed New Joy, she also got in her hand for me, for my clients. Yeah, so she's the, and also she's a woman, and the one under the blanket's a girl. So it's about that growing up, I guess, and getting to know me. And that's what I would say, one of the things that collage really allows people to do is to get to know themselves, increase self-awareness. And I think once when we do that, when we know ourselves, we make better decisions for ourselves as well. That's my experience anyway.
And I love that she's wearing red and you're wearing red today as well. And I, you know, there's something absolutely wonderful about the fact that you've still got it and you can still refer to it, and it's still, it's kind of part of your journey. And there's something really nice about that tangibility. You've got it and it's there and you can refer back to it, or you can put it away and come back to it over time.
Yeah, absolutely. Many clients actually frame their collages and they put it up. And I always say, put it somewhere you'll see it regularly, whether it's on your screensaver or on your phone or on your wall. And from a coach's perspective, it also serves when you come back, we keep working with it, or 3 months down the line, you make another one. What's changed? And you can see, you can visually see the progress and the shifts. So that's really interesting.
And Andrea, it's been an absolute pleasure having this conversation with you and learning more about your work and what you do and how you do it, delving into your book. For people that want to get in contact with you or connect with you, where's the best place for them to find you?
I'd say two places. LinkedIn, I'm on there quite a lot. And via my website, you can use the contact form, my email. I'll get an email, but also my email should...
Go for it.
It's Andrea, A-N-D-R-E-A, at ungluyou.co.uk. Yeah, so I'd love to hear from people, even if they're just interested to learn more about it.
Fabulous. Brilliant. Thank you so much for the conversation today. And I look forward to reading your book when it's published.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
If you'd like to watch these episodes as well as listen, you can find the video interviews on our YouTube channel and website now. Thanks for tuning in to Coaching Uncaged. Join us again for more captivating conversations, exploring the art of coaching.